Hey, kiddies, you're listening to Watch It Burn.
Now in stereo.
Woo-hoo!
The anti-Bush press makes terrorist.
Their interests are not your interests. Their truth is not your truth. The corporations have their media. Now we have ours. The Progressive Podcast Network. Now we are the media. Listen to your media. Take your country back. Go to ProgressivePodcastNetwork.org. The Progressive Podcast Network. ProgressivePodcastNetwork.org.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Watch It Burn with Dave.
Alright, here we go again for the second try at recording this segment.
This is my first podcast, leave me alone.
Yeah, you can say whatever.
I'm a podcast virgin, for crying out loud.
<That's about all.
laughs> Anyway, hi, I'm Organa. I'm the ever-patient wife of Dave here.
Very, very patient. And this is our second attempt at recording this segment because...
Therefore, mutual patience.
Well, she spoke a little too honestly for herself. About the general intellectual capacity of a certain class of people, not race, so don't get your freaking panties in a bunch, you jackasses. It was a certain type of people who, by virtue of their marital status, she made an overly broad, overgeneralizing, insulting comment.
Oh my goodness, you are making it sound so much worse than it is. You're then, absolutely horrible.
But being the chicken shit that she was, she didn't want to leave it on, so we deleted that segment.
I was just making a statement on education and how ignorant some people are.
Yeah, I mean, come on, if the Simpsons can get away with saying that, you know, just
are we
feet,
the
like
Simpsons?
All good-hearted
are
people.
Are we the Simpsons? Okay, sometimes.
I've got a little hair at the moment, but hey.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. So, anyway, this is, as you can tell, my first podcast.
Yep.
I'm trying
to
be...
make Kelly happy.
Oh, hi, Kelly. I'm trying to be more
Kelly
involved...
Kelly in Arizona, not the Kelly in Alaska.
I'm trying to be more involved in my husband's...
hobby here?
I guess hobby, career.
Eventually, maybe.
Yeah.
Though, that will take a while. But in the time being, it'll be a hobby.
Well, right now, you've been home since October.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 months? 1.5 months?
About close to 2.5 months.
Because it's almost mid-December
now. It was the
4th
we got
back. It's almost 2 months. Almost 2 months.
Yeah. Now the 4th we got back, 4th of October. So it's been 2 months and about...
That's
yeah, and a week.
Okay. Anyway. there's been a big difference with his homecoming this time than the previous ones. I think you getting out of the military is the biggest impact.
It definitely has made a difference in my attitude.
Well, when you came back from Afghanistan, it wasn't so bad, partially
well,
because we were pregnant and you were here for the last trimester, so
yeah,
we were thankful for that.
Yeah, and there wasn't all the retarded shit going on as far as...
Well, it was finding out 6 months later, you being deployed to Iraq,
that's
when everything got stressful. Because we didn't have a problem with you going to Afghanistan. We understood that.
Yeah, but then, you know, preemptive... Optional wars are kind of a bullshit use.
And I got in a lot of fights that first week you were gone because, you know, there were some family members up having barbecues with neighbors. And in particular, Loretta's father, you know, he's like, what about the people at 9/11, how can you not support the Iraq war? And it's like, you know, it had absolutely nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
This is wrong. We don't just go in there and attack a leader just because he's bad, because if that was true, then why aren't we there helping the people in Africa who are experiencing genocide right now?
Yeah.
He just basically jumped me, and I basically told him he was rude and that he needed to leave, and that was that.
Mm-hmm.
And
you never want to back down from a good argument.
Well, they're just ignorant. They don't know any better. You know, I try to remember that of some of the people I know from the South. Or Ohio, as in her case.
I don't know if it's something in the water, but I've noticed a lot of people from Ohio
aren't bright. There are some that are.
It's not that they're not bright. It's just that they're not that curious about information.
Well, they're like being spoon-fed.
A lot of people
I mean, we've been through Ohio. That place is very, very lame, and you know it. That is the worst state, other than Kansas, to drive through.
Kansas.
Kansas, at least, isn't completely under construction the whole time.
That's true.
Every time we go through Ohio, it's 45 miles per hour.
I have to say,
just for me to go up to New York to visit my family.
I really did enjoy our drive through Kansas, though.
Shut up. Anyway.
We could only find really scary religious broadcasting on the radio, so in protest, you drove
the
across Kansas.
The ant with the conversation with God. That was hysterical.
Oh, yeah, or the Gospel of Count Chocula.
You just like it because I drove to Kansas topless.
In protest, yes.
Don't worry. No, there was nobody else on the road.
You know, actually, if we keep on going on subject matter like that, we're going to start sounding like Twilight and Thieves, their show.
Never mind. So, anyway.
We're dirty, but not that dirty.
No, we're old. It's not that interesting.
Not that old.
No, but we're definitely not
25.
You know
what? I realized when I went and bought my dip today, and the woman looked at my ID, and she goes, "Are you old enough?" I said, "You know, I've been old enough almost as long as I wasn't old enough."
Okay, real quick story. You look older than your age. I look younger than my age. We were 24 when we got married, and we also got pregnant with our first child.
Yes.
I look like I was 16 years old.
16? You look like you were 15. I look like I was 40.
You didn't look
and
older.
Everywhere we went, I got the dirtiest look.
Because we'll be holding hands, you know, being the sweet, loving.
And I'm thinking nothing. I'm thinking, yay, my wife is pregnant. We're going to have a baby. And I know everybody's looking at me, you dirty old bastard. What did you do to that poor girl?
Great. It looked like the whole... Yeah, it didn't look right, but it was hysterical, and I always enjoy it that I look younger than you and you look older.
Well, I realize it, though. Next September.
Maybe it's the little
36,
Native American in you. Makes you look like an old man.
No, it's also freaking army.
Okay.
2.5 years in a damn desert under that kind of stress.
You weren't in a desert at that point, dumbass.
It was
Haiti, yes, but...
It was the infantry. It was an intellectual desert.
No, because you had very smart friends like Root and Craig
and Pete.
Yeah, so you can't say that because you had some
smart.
Good friends.
Chuck was one of the smartest dumbasses I know.
Yeah, that's a
hey,
very
Ben,
good
Ben,
friend.
What you doing? Mommy, Daddy, you're recording. You coming in to see what's up? You want to say hi?
You know, that's what's been nice is that when you left before and came back when Jack was about Ben's age, I remember that one time like when you came back from Korea. And he didn't recognize you.
Mm-hmm.
And that just tore you up. Ben, he seems to be fine. It's like he's perfect to be an army brat because you come back, you're like, oh, yeah, hey, D, how you doing?
Yeah, I came home and leave. I'm sitting on the couch with the dog in my lap. She went to the neighbors to get the kids. She didn't tell them she was picking me up. And so I'd be surprised for them. And Jack comes in, sees me. He's, Daddy, and he comes running, you know, jumps up, give me a hug. Ben comes in the door, looks at me, and says, hey, D. like I just got back from work, you know.
Jack's always been the harder one because you were home straight for the first 2.5 years of his life.
Yeah, just shy of 3, actually.
Where, Ben, you've always been kind of here and there.
It was only like a month and a half or so before his third birthday that I left.
So, yeah. He's always had the hardest time with your deployments.
Yeah, Ben, hell, I deployed again when he was 4 months old, so.
Yeah, believe me, I remember that.
He was just starting to sit up. I came home and leave, and he was just starting to stand up.
Walk.
Mm-hmm.
By the time he came home, he was just walking.
No, I didn't get to see him walk. He started walking.
Yeah,
because
that was his birthday, and your mom had come out to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
just after I went back to Iraq, he started walking.
Which, by the way, I'm very lucky. I have a great mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. You're just saying that because she'll probably be listening to this.
Yeah, probably. And she'll laugh right now.
She rocks. And she'll get to see the boys again in about a week and a half.
Oh, I am so not looking forward to this drive.
I know. I'm not looking. You know, I wouldn't mind the drive itself. No big deal, except towing the damn metro.
Well, Yeah. We have an option to leave it here, but I don't want to leave it here because we're both going to need vehicles when we get back there.
And that thing's so freaking economical.
I know.
The mileage
well,
is awesome.
Plus I really like the idea of painting it black and then putting red flames all over orange. It and orange flames all over it and putting on there Watch It Burn and let it be your own little pretend company car.
The Watch It Burn wagon. The Burnmobile. The watermelon seat of doom.
So.
My Metro. My little silver Metro that... Who was it? Oh, God. I think it was Duty. Before he left, he looked at it and he said, what is that, the aluminum turd?
You're just jealous.
I told him it was the steel turd.
It's paid off.
Hell yeah.
It's paid off. That's why we keep the Metro. The Metro's
paid
off.
It's paid off, and it gets 36
miles per gallon. The Pacifica, not so paid off.
Yeah.
But the Pacifica's nice.
Oh, it's great when everybody talked all kinds of shit when I first brought the car here, because they're all driving their Durangos and their Rams and all that, and they're freaking...
Oh, yeah, we're in truck country.
Yeah, they're on.
Everybody has a freaking truck.
And then I come to work in my Metro, and they talk all kinds of shit. But then when the gas prices got up there,
you were getting offers. Yeah, you were getting offers. And I'm like,
who's the dummy now, dummy?
I'm going to miss this place. I am. I know you're not really looking forward to it, but the Army's treated me well.
I'll miss the sweet tea.
You know, what? Now I can make sweet tea. Come on. You know what? Tiffany's going to be up in Washington. We can always go up there. She's Southern Creole. She can make... real good sweet tea. She's very picky,
Tiffany,
actually.
I want sweet tea. I'll try 6
She's
hours.
Supposed to still make us gumbo, by the way.
Right on.
But the Army life has been good from my perspective, because
I've been an
at-home mom, university student. Jack's school is a block away, and it's an academy versus a regular public school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been able to be there for the boys. I've been there to do my volunteer work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I really enjoy volunteer work.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting community because I've had a really good friend that's part Japanese, a really good Korean friend, Gyeong, my adopted sister from Hawaii, Leilani, mm-hmm. and
Linda and
Tanya from Germany, and then, you know, people from the South, like my best friend Tina, who's, well, mm-hmm. she's from Ohio, but I'll overlook that. I freaking hate Ohio.
Japanese
Sorry.
And Korean and Hawaiian? And German, and from Ohio.
Well, this is like a country. Anyway.
They're
all
a separate country in many ways. Yeah, Loretta from Ohio. And
then Barbara's out in California. And then we got Shannon and Rob. They're out in
Virginia.
I mean, there's just about...
And then other Rob.
There
Rob
isn't
Steele.
A place that we can't go that we don't know somebody,
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
And Fred, I mean, and young me.
I wonder how she's doing.
I don't know. I think she's doing all right, probably.
I hope so. But, you know, the international community has been great. I've learned a lot about different cultures. I'll never forget learning how the whole Guam Island Boy and the whole respect beat down thing goes. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so the Guamaniacs.
You know, I'm not going to miss the freaking country western crap hole that this place is.
Yeah, that's about the only thing I really couldn't stand about.
Oh, have you heard the latest song from Toby Keith? Hell no.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim McGraw and Faith Hill. When
I went around and was so excited because Tool was playing in Nashville.
Hmm.
Well, what's that? Oh, I knew I was in the wrong place. When you don't know who Tool is, you got something wrong.
Yeah. What are you looking for, Boo Boo?
Oh, no.
Looking for the wipies? Uh-oh, you got a load in your pants? Uh-oh, let's bum you to take a break.
I'll go ahead
and end this segment now. And come back after a little bit of music.
Responsibility of young ones.
Yep. What's the matter, Ben Ben?
You did a good job.
Good job, Boo Boo.
I have no clue.
Feel
of ancient culture.
Listening to you back to your radio personality voice.
You're just so sweet.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
Listening to you talk, because you start off the segment kind of stilted and, you know, trying to be a, you know, professional sounding type of thing. I know it's unconscious or subconscious or whatever.
Well, you're just not used to me not bitching at you.
But then you get as the segment goes on, you get more comfortable with it and start talking more naturally. But
okay.
It's fun.
Okay.
So you wanted to talk about what for this segment?
Well, I thought we would talk about the impact of the recent deployment in our family and what we go through because, you know, your whole podcasts have been about you being in Iraq. And I know that some of your listeners started hitting my blog because, you know, they wanted to see what it was like for those of us left behind.
That's one of the reasons I put the link to your blog from mine, because I knew people might be interested.
Well, I want to start off with a question I seem to get from everybody is, how do you do it with your husband gone for a year? And I don't always understand the question because it's not like, you know, you went to the store and came back. I mean, you're going to a war place. You oppose the war. That's and the only reason why you're going is for our security. So I owe it to you in one respect to, I don't know if I owe it to you to be faithful, but I just am. I appreciate the sacrifice you're making because you're not, yes, you're a patriot and you love the country. But your main reason for going is to provide for us. So if you if you can give up everything to do what was right for us, well, we should be able to do the same thing for you.
Ooh, mic cord snafu. Yep, we'll leave that in there. I'm not going to edit that one out.
Okay. Well,
it's a horrific spike in sound. That thing must have hit me or something. Anyway, listeners will understand there are snafus. They had to put up with the jets taking off and the helicopter.
Oh, that me? That was character. Come
That's
on.
That's true,
That
yeah.
was character. There was nothing wrong with that.
I had been editing that out originally, but I got a lot of emails when I mentioned that I was. People saying, no, leave it in. So I did.
A little known information I wanted to give out. I think the reason why our marriage is as strong is because of your deployments.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I love you. I adore you, but getting a break from you is the best.
Well, yeah, that's.
I love having you. I wish the deployments weren't a year long, but having you gone on the break that you go, I think has strengthened our marriage because getting a break from you, and it's not the whole, oh, well, you know.
From me.
Well, you know, the whole thing, the heart grows stronger when you're gone.
Well,
that's not it. It's I get a break from you. I don't have to smell your farting in the night. I don't have to hear your snoring. You know, my bedroom smells like a nice, clean bedroom. What are you doing?
Just checking the levels.
Oh.
I reset the meter because it spiked when the thing fell. And I wanted to make sure we weren't going too high and distorting.
So anyway.
And now who's talking like a professional?
Why are you making fun of me?
I'm not making
I thought
fun
you
of
wanted
making
me
fun
to
of
do
myself
this
time.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm used to you picking on me.
Well, you know, you're talking about, you know, us being gone for so long at a time. It is just funny. We used to laugh our asses off when we'd be watching TV in the chow hall and there'd be an ad for like Survivor or something. Like people like crying and whining about missing their family for, you know, and being gone for a month.
Oh, and that pisses me off. Because I'm like, wait a minute, my husband's gone for a year. And there's a lot of people whose marriages don't last because, you know, the excuse that they're both working so they never see each other. And I just turn to them and says, really? You never see him?
Yeah.
Not every night? Not every weekend? I mean, come on, my husband's gone for a year.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, not just gone for a year, but he's gone for a year with... in an area where people are trying to kill him. You know, oh, we work so much and people are always trying to kill him, you know. Okay, that might work if you're a cop.
But, you know, I think also, it's not, you know, the break is nice and everything, but I think one of the reasons why a lot of us have no problems waiting for you guys, if that's the right way to put it, is we worry about you.
Yeah.
I mean, we are worried. My friend Tina's husband was in infantry. He was being attacked. He had the IEDs going off. He lost his hearing. He was hospitalized.
Yeah.
He had his best friend blown up next to him. My neighbor Jessica, her husband had to shoot a child who was shooting a gun at him. And, you know, this is a guy whose sister was killed by a serial killer who appreciates life and never expected that he would have to take life.
It's the same guy that we saw where his uncle was it?
Yeah,
his uncle and his uncle's girlfriend were
killed by
a couple in, was it Atlantic City or?
I think so.
Or Virginia Beach or something like that. It was some beach, it was some East Coast resort town.
We actually saw
it on TV on like investigative reports or one of those.
Well, with that aside, he wasn't in infantry, so he didn't expect his job would be, I mean, his job would normally carry a gun. Normally he's a paper pusher type.
Yeah.
But when you go on convoys, you got to have a gun on you, and if somebody shoots at you, you have to shoot back. And this is a kid who is 19 years old who's utterly destroyed.
I really hope that over the course of all my episodes I recorded over there, I made it abundantly clear to my listeners that I was really, really fortunate and knew that I was fortunate to be in the situation
I
was in.
Would you believe somebody...
I had it easy.
Somebody... I had a spouse whose husband also has to deal with the violence, the shooting. He was not in one of those secure areas. And I told her, well, I could be there for you and help you through it because I don't have your worries. And she looked at me and was confused. I'm like, I've been through this enough to know that I don't have to worry about my husband as much as my friends do. So if you're an infantry wife, you know, I'm going to let you complain over my complaints because your complaints are a little bit more valid. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, it doesn't matter where your husbands are. They're all dangerous. I'm like, don't get me wrong. I'm worried about my husband. But I am thankful that I know that he is at a safer place than where your husband, who's driving a truck and getting shot at.
Yeah, relatively, but it's still, it was huge. I mean, sure, I had rounds hit. So
she mistaken that as me not caring. I'm like, no, I care about my husband. I send the care packages every week. Well, not so much this time, but that's because I knew you had a good chow hall.
Yeah.
But,
and a PX and a Burger King and pizza.
And you had a very nice allowance.
Yeah, actually, I had a great allowance
this
time.
You did, I know.
And plus, I was able to have my
own. And I still paid off your credit cards.
Yeah, and plus, I had internet access directly in my room, so I could shop online and stuff.
Oh, now, great. So why didn't I get as many emails? Why did I have to get an email only once a month?
Once a month.
Okay, maybe once a month.
Because AKO was screwy?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, the truth comes out. Thanks, honey. I love you, too. Your mom has the same grudge,
by the way. I called you all the time, though.
What?
Once a week.
You did not.
Every other week.
No, you don't remember very well, do you?
I called you not as much as Rhett called his wife, but that was like a daily thing. But.
Wow, we're not even touching this. But we were worried this time. My biggest worry was because of the how much the violence got, that one of my neighbor's husband was going to be dead. I really felt when you guys left this time that somebody close to me was going to be dead. So I was worried about that. And then I didn't get worried about you until it was time for you to come home, when you started having, your blog started having a dark side.
Well,
you got to the point where you felt like you weren't going to come home, and that worried me.
I didn't feel like I wasn't going to come home. I was thinking, you know, just my luck. That's the way it works. That's the way soldiers always think. When they're on the way out, they always start thinking, fuck, this is it. This is the last minute of the game.
That was the only time
I
got scared. That was the only time I got scared. It's because you were getting negative.
It's because we've all seen war movies and seen where the guys are running to the chopper and boom.
Are you really? Really?
No, but, you know, we look at war movies and we laugh our asses off at most of the stuff, but there's always some of the stuff that does sink in, like the fact that, you know, in the movies, that last couple minutes of the movie when they're all running to the chopper is when one of them gets it.
Well,
that type of thing. And you figure that, you know, my luck held for so long.
Lost a lot of guys from this post.
Yeah.
But I was lucky that it wasn't somebody that I knew that well.
You know, the first
phase.
But
it was still hard because I had to watch, like, Tina's kids as she went to the funerals and watch her when she came back from the funerals because she knew who died.
Yeah.
It was somebody who had been playing with her kids a week before they left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it tore me up to see her in that much pain.
Yeah.
And I was constantly trying to help her and constantly help other women. And it is stressful. It is stressful. I just love this. We support our troops, but we don't give discounts to military. You know,
yeah,
we support
that.
Our troops, and it's just a slogan and hanging. And
I love seeing that go to, what was it, that steakhouse or whatever it was we went to? They had, you know, support our troops on their big billboard out front, but they didn't give military discount. First of all, how do you not give military discount when you're less than 5 miles away from a base the size of Fort Campbell? You know.
Well, they think we all have money. They do.
Yeah, they do.
They do. They think we all have money.
We don't have a lot. I mean, it's easy money, but it's not a lot of money.
But
yeah, well, that's the other thing too. We go and we get shot at, and mortared, and we sleep in cots in freaking 140 degree temperatures and stuff, and we still think this is easy money. You know? Because we're on salary. I mean, I get paid when I'm taking a shit, basically, is the way we look at it. I'm on salary. I'm getting paid squatting on the latrine.
That's lovely, honey. Lovely.
That's soldier humor.
But, yeah, we were worried about you. The news was something else. I know we're not supposed to watch the news, but we always do.
Yeah. Well, they can't tell you. Don't be informed.
We just don't watch Fox.
Exactly. Just don't watch Fox because that's all they're all about.
Well, there's a lot of check-in on the Army websites, the Army-sponsored websites, because they actually had pretty good information. It was scary. There was some scary moments. The kids, you know, trying to keep it from the kids, try to keep the worry from the kids, trying to keep the kids from watching the moms cry when they're worried about the dads. It was really difficult. When you do get to call, you get 15, 20 minutes and trying to fit the kids on long enough to say hi and for you and I to maintain some kind of connection. Yeah. It's really difficult. And then if the kids only get to say hi and hang up, they're like, I wish I could have talked to Daddy longer. Well, honey, we all do, but we don't have a choice in this. And they learn it and they deal with it. And on my blog, I was talking all the time about patience. You know, you got to have a lot of patience to make it in this life. And we'll find out usually within the first 6 months who can be a military spouse and who can't be.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the one thing that pisses me off is all the cheating.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
You know, you have the people who are, you know, all moral writing and, oh, well, we know how we're supposed to be, and then they turn around and they're the first ones to start stepping out on their man.
Well, you know what's really crazy is just how thick-skinned soldiers get about stuff like that.
You expect it.
Well, there was an E6 when I was in last time when I was in Iraq. He was in our maintenance platoon. And he found out his wife was cheating on him, and his platoon sergeant, you know, had heard. His platoon sergeant went to talk to him and said, "Hey, man, how you doing? You all right? You need to talk?" And he said, "No, that's just what military wives do."
Not all of us.
And he was just, you know, he was totally accepting of it, like, "Nah, it's just what they do. We do this, they do that." I was like, "Damn, dude, how?"
Well, I'll tell you, those of us that have been through this three times, some of us more.
Yeah, I had Deacon Justin or something.
You know, we stick with each other. We know who each other are. We know the ones that are the good wives that take care of the kids, take care of the house, make improvements. And those who aren't, we don't let them in. We just make fun of them, and we're not friends with them. Hmm. So when you live on post, it's a very quite tight community, and there's just not much you can get away with.
Yeah, I've seen that myself.
Our biggest gripe has always been, you know, your husband's over there getting shot at, and what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know. But it was a hard deployment. It was a long deployment. And we're just glad that everybody, for the most part, did make it back. I'm glad to have you home. I'm not sick of you yet. That's always good.
Yeah, that's one thing that I definitely have to reiterate that, yeah. The deployments have been good for the marriage because of being separated. I really do start appreciating you again, you know, because about the time around the time when I'm getting ready to deploy, it's usually when I'm starting to, you know, not really have just kind of taking you for granted type of thing and starting to get on your nerves. And
it's usually on my nerves. I'm not necessarily.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah.
I know. But
around the time when I start having to walk on eggshells again is when I usually start getting ready to deploy.
You don't act like such a dumbass.
I wonder if they schedule rotations like that. Like, okay, Campbell guys, wives, we're getting sick of them by now, so it's their turn to go. Bragg, they've been home about 7 months. Their wives are.
You know, we've been married 11 years. You know, I think pride alone will keep me from leaving your ass.
All right, you know, it's like when people tell me, you've done 10 years in the Army, you're halfway to retirement, you're going to give it up now? You've been with him for 11 years, you're going to give up now? You got a lot of time invested in him, sister.
No, it's more like, you know, the body's not looking as good as it used to, so.
Talking about me or you?
Well, definitely you.
This is a beautiful ab.
Yes.
It's huge.
Your sexy unit app.
Yeah. Well, that's 29 and a half minutes right there. I think we should go ahead and call it so I get time to put my little outro on there and to mention to people that there is a new email address if you want to get a hold of us. Don't bother with the old Godless Kinzer one. Just go ahead and email admin or Dave or Zebabeganubi, anything you put in there at watchitburn.org. And, of course, that's watchitburn, all one word. Or you can leave a voicemail at 1-888-82-REVOLT, as usual. Or you can go to watchitburn.org and comment on the posts there. You can.
I like to hear if people want to hear from me at all. I want to. I'm kind
of
curious.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that do.
Well.
And as
should
you
I should I have my own podcast or should I just keep invading yours?
Oh, I see what you're getting at. Are you going to be a competitor with me for most listened to on Podomatic? Which I have to definitely say, if you want to do a podcast, Podomatic.com is awesome. They have been nothing but wonderful for me. And I definitely recommend them. Bill from Florida Soapbox is on there. Dave Rabbit's on there. A number of other members of the network. I'm sorry, I forget who. And of course, I have to say, definitely, if you want to hear more stuff like this and you didn't find me by going to them to begin with, definitely listen to the Progressive Podcast Network at progressivepodcastnetwork.org. And, yeah.
Or go to your blog.
Go to my blog at watchitburn.org, and there's a link
there. I have a link there to mine.
And there's a, yeah, there's a link to the wife's blog from mine. And, well, I'm going to go ahead and let that be that for this episode. And, as usual, everybody, take care of each other and watch your six. You got anything to say by way of farewell?
That's your podcast still, so I'll let you have a last say.
All right. Well, then here we go. As I said, take care of each other and watch your six.